Countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing you expert analysis on what the new CAP deal means for you and your farm payments.
Now, since the restrictions lifted on Monday last, racegoers are allowed back on racecourses, and it's timely with the Longines Irish Champions Weekend taking place this weekend. Leopardstown today and tomorrow then at the Curragh. Racing was shut down and then it took place behind closed doors for much of the pandemic. And Suzanne Campbell is here with me. And Suzanne, I know you're a racing enthusiast. You must be looking forward to the weekend ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge occasion and it's just really timely that crowds are allowed back because, you know, as people in racing would say, it is a business. It's a huge employer in Ireland, the buying and selling of horses. But racing horses on tracks where there was no crowds up to now has been just really odd and it had no atmosphere. So it's amazing that it's coming back, that racegoers can come back on tracks for, I suppose, today is the Irish Champion Stakes, the big, big race at Leopardstown. And then tomorrow, the feature race is the St. Ledger at the Curragh. And it's the last classic flat race of the season. And of course, these races feature horses that the public will follow. And it's, you know, huge importance to those breeding and selling horses all over the world, this meeting. And we'll hear a little bit about that later. So I walked down to the Curragh. Well, I didn't walk down. I drove down and I walked around the track and I walked around the concourse and the parade ring during the week. And it looked so beautiful with so much planting and colour. And now they've new outdoor seating areas and dining areas, which they had to do to cover the numbers coming outdoors. And I met with Evan Arkwright, the interim CEO of the Curragh at the moment, beside one of the new pavilions just been finished off.
And it's very exciting for us. You know, it's been tough for the last 18 months or so. You know, last year was really pretty much all behind closed doors. And slowly but surely, we've been getting the numbers up this year. The Derby being a test event with 1,000 people. That was great. But then we went back to 500 and we've been at 500 until now this weekend. So very exciting. Things obviously opened up last week with restrictions. Because it's a joint event, Longines Irish Champions Weekend, we're very much aligned with what they're doing in Leopardstown, which is a very, I suppose, unique situation. Mm-hmm. I don't think anywhere around the world two racetracks work together on one event. So we have to be aligned with what we're doing. And I suppose sitting down with their team, we decided in the short space of time what numbers we could have, you know, to make sure that people were going to be comfortable and have a good experience. So we came up with a number of 4,000. So tickets are pretty much nearly sold out at this stage. Obviously, we have 5 race days after Champions Weekend. So slowly but surely, we'll start raising the numbers as we get more into September and into October.
And looking around here, you have an outdoor pavilion there. And behind the stand, you've got lots of new facilities, outdoor facilities. Tell us about them. They look so nice.
Yeah, so it's great. So I think when people come here, they'll find that there's something for both indoor and outdoor. Now, obviously, indoor, again, our restrictions are for people who have proof of vaccine or recovery. So we're at 60% in those facilities. So again, but the great thing is we'll be able to have owners who are fully vaccinated back indoors.
Yeah.
Then the bars then within the grandstand, table service, people can go in, but they have to be fully vaccinated. We have 20 bookmakers back. We've only had 3 or 4 up to now, so that would be great. They create their own atmosphere and there's tote betting. So, you know, it'd be very much like coming back on to a regular race day. And then there's lots of entertainment. So there should be a really fantastic atmosphere here.
And of course, you know, Evan is the head of the ship at the moment, but there's a huge amount of people who race on, who work on race courses, from farriers to cleaners to commentators, of course, people in our business. But one of the most important people down there is Richard Brophy, who is the racing track manager. He looks after the grass track the horses run on. And the going in racing, we hear a lot about the going. That's a description of the ground that the horses race on. And the evenness and condition of this ground is really, I suppose, unlike other sports, it's crucial to safety. You don't want it too hard, because horses get injuries. You don't want it, obviously in the flat season, you don't want it too soft or too wet. So balancing this, managing the team then that looks after the track is Richie's job.
Yeah, we've got a lovely cover of grass on this for the time of year. We've been probably lucky enough with weather this year, as in that we were in control of the ground, the surfaces all the time, because we were putting the water on because we didn't get it from above. Now, we needed a little bit of water. We got some yesterday, which has brought this track that we're going to race on for Sunday. Good ground now, which is perfect. Lovely, safe ground. Everybody be happy with that ground.
It's super. Considering farmland around the country and farmers listening to this programme, it's been exceptionally dry recently. Yes. People have been watering and it's been difficult for particular crops, but also grass. And you've such a great cover of grass here. It's amazing.
Yeah, we're lucky here in that over the last few years, we've invested a good bit kindly through Meidler and the Hefner family with our irrigation system. Mm-hmm. We've Briggs irrigators and it's a brilliant system. We have a ring main that goes around the centre of the track and valve points at each furlong so we can reach out to each furlong of the track and put exactly what we want. If we want 3 mil or 10 mil, right. We can put whatever we want onto that, given the conditions. That's been super. As regards our fertiliser programmes, they pretty much stay the same each year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It'll be two or three times a year. We also use a little bit of liquid seaweed feed, mm-hmm. which gives us that lovely, lush green colour, yes. that you see there. We do that maybe a week before racing, so it finishes it, really finishes it.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And how many people work on the grounds? Tell us about that.
We've kind of two teams here because we have a training ground as well as a racetrack. So racetrack and facilities and stable yards. On that team, we'd have 18 to 20. So we've a lot of really experienced fellas who've been here a long time as regards putting up rail, laying out track, marking track, filling track, repairing track after, rolling track, all of that. And then we bring in a lot of younger guys during the summer. Students come in to help out as well, which it's kind of like a really good team. You have a nice blend of youth and experience.
Yeah,
they're top class as regards taking care of a proper surface for racing.
Now, I also talked to trainer John Feen. He's based at the Curra at Pollardstown. And he's a big milestone this weekend because on Sunday he runs his horse, his young horse, Anatolia, 2-year-old, in the Group 1 Goffs Vincent O'Brien National Stakes. Now, that is a big step up. This is Group 1 company. And he's racing against Coolmore, who are obviously the powerhouse in this country for turning out good flat horses. I drove down about a mile from, I suppose, where the stand is, down over the Curragh to one of the training grounds, because this is a massive complex of training grounds. And he was putting some 2-year-olds into stalls and starting them out of stalls. And then they would canter a mile and a half and walk back. So while he was waiting, I chatted to him about Anatoly, who's coming into the frame really on Sunday, and we'll all be watching and hoping he does well.
How is he today, David? Is he well?
Very good. Very happy with him. Moving well.
Good. He's nice and relaxed and taking it all in.
Not a bother on
him. And he's good, Keith, as well, is he?
Come on, buddy.
Tell us about the runner you have on Sunday.
He's a colt by acclaim. He's a homebred and hopefully he'll run well on Sunday. It's stuff of dreams, really.
Will he be very fancied?
He won't be overly fancied. We're hoping for him to run a nice race and we can always go back a level if we have to, or a couple of levels, it depends. Mm-hmm. But they're all individuals, they're all 2-year-olds, they're all babies and it's all in the day. Aidan O'Brien's horse, who will be long odds on, will be very hard to beat. He's won a couple of group races already, one in Royal Ascot, and he'd be a horse that would be going to be a sire. You'd imagine in time he could be valued around 15, 20 million. So, you know, the Coolmore are a huge operation. So it's all about stallions for them. We're probably dreaming a little bit, but you never know.
And tell us about your yard and how many you train.
Yeah, we have 6 people employed and I only keep about 20 horses in. I just keep the number small. We're all a sort of family orientated group of people and that's the way I like it.
And who are your owners? What sort of owners do you have?
Oh, I have an owner. I was only speaking to him this morning. He was in Blackrock in Australia having breakfast and we've owners from all over the world. Irish guys have emigrated to Australia.
Yeah.
Hong Kong owners. A lot of individuals from locality as well and a lot of people that have companies and that. They were very good to support us when the COVID pandemic hit and the lads that are running Irish racing and everything done a brilliant job to keep everything going. We're fortunate where we are.
Is the gusto still there in the industry and among small trainers, even bigger than ever now that you're going to have crowds on a race course? You're getting back to normal in inverted commas.
I think everyone in the whole country is looking forward to getting back to normal. The whole world, really. Of course, sure, if you can't enjoy days or weekends like this, well, sure, there's no real point, is there? That's what we're in it for.
And hopefully you might have a winner or a well-placed horse, or he runs a nice race on Sunday.
Certainly so. If he runs a really nice race, there's always a market for animals abroad. That's the main thing with the flat. The world is your oyster, really.
So if he runs well on Sunday, the likelihood is he will go overseas?
Yes, there have been offers for him to go abroad.
Okay.
But we didn't think it was enough. Maybe we're right, maybe we're wrong.
So the figure might go up on Sunday evening.
Hopefully. We'll add a zero.
A few zeros.
Oh, I like the way you're thinking. Yeah. We could sell you one yet.
I better get out of here before someone tries to pawn one off of me. So I managed to get out without any horses or buying any legs of horses. John's horse runs at 4:05 on Sunday, Anatoly. It is a big price because it's up against serious, serious company. And, you know, best of luck to everybody involved in the 2 days. Fantastic, fantastic festival.
Yeah, and indeed, as an amateur rider, he used to ride for Francis Crowley, and Francis's late husband, Pat Smullen, rode John's first winner as a trainer, Prince Connoisseur at Dundalk in January 2014. And you're pointing out to me that it's Pat's anniversary this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's this weekend or early, right, maybe next week, but it's certainly that time of year, and it's a nice time to remember him. And John had a big part in his life, you know, riding Pat Roadrunners for him, and then Francis, he rode winners for Francis Crowley. Yeah. So yeah, it's a lovely story.
He'd be remembered by everybody going to the Curragh
very
tomorrow.
Much this weekend.
Enjoy the racing. Great hope. Weekend of sport. We'll be talking a bit more about that later on. Good to chat to you again, Suzanne. Thank you.